Our second reading is Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 23. Last time that we were in this portion, we covered really just the works of the Pharisees in relation to Christ's last public sermon. And today then we move on to the verse 13. We come to the woes of the Pharisees. Verse 13, but the Lord here is speaking. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Amen. Last occasion that we were in this passage together, we began to look at this final sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said before, this is now the Tuesday of his final week. After that challenge to his authority there in the temple, after that attack against his gospel preaching, when the different ones would come upon him suddenly, and after those questions had been presented and Christ's unanswerable question had been returned to them as it were, what do you think of Christ? After they had been silenced, Christ proceeded to preach one final sermon. It is a sermon which the opening verse tells us it's directed to the multitude and to the disciples. But yet I believe as we go through it, and even as we've read it this morning, I believe that within that multitude, even though they are now silent, the Pharisees and the scribes are still there. The elders are still standing about. They're still listening to the Lord's words. They're still attentive to what He is saying. The last time we looked at the falsehood of the works of the Pharisees and of the scribes, their false authority that they had over the people, their false ministry and how they burdened the people instead of taking the burdens off the people, their false greatness. But now today in this message, and as we come to this part of Christ's sermon, He comes to the part where He gives them warning. He upbraids them for their actions, for their lives. Just in passing, I believe that this sermon highlights the truth and the reality that God does not accept everyone. That God does not accept everyone in the state in which they desire to live. That God does not accept all religions. That God does not accept all ethical standings. God has a standard, and it is God's standard, and only God's standard, which is acceptable. Too many today will say every religion is okay. Too many today will say you can worship who you want, you can act the way you want, you can live your life in accordance with how you think is best, and everything will be okay. But Christ upbraided the Pharisees and the scribes for their lives and for their practices. Also highlights the fact that we as Christians, as followers of Christ, are to speak out against heresies and lies and malpractices. It is not the case that a Christian is to go through their life completely silent. Oh yes, we are to be as wise as serpents. We are to be as harmless as doves. In other words, we're to know when to speak and when not to speak. But when we are to speak, we are to speak. It is not a case that we simply turn a blind eye and just go along with the world mentality that God's a God of love and He accepts everything and He accepts everyone. God is a God of love. God is holy. And God is zealous over His holiness. He guards it. He detests and abhors anything that goes against His holiness. He will not allow anyone to dilute or to destroy it. So in these verses, these points, these woes, the Lord's sermon, they're powerful, they're passionate, they're pointed. 8 times He states, "Woe unto you." 7 times He calls them hypocrites. 2 times He speaks of them as blind guides. 2 times as fools and as blind. 1 time as serpents. 1 time as a generation of vipers. These men and their practices were utterly abominable in the sight of God. Last time we looked at the works, I want you to see now, secondly, the woes to the Pharisees. The woes to the Pharisees. These woes of the Lord are very interesting in their content. As I've said, this is the last public sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last time when He will stand before the multitudes and will preach forth. And you tie this then to His very first public sermon that's recorded. The very first time when He gathered the multitudes unto Him. That's recorded Matthew 5 through to the end of Matthew 7. The Sermon on the Mount has been entitled, "Whenever the Lord sat down and all of the people gathered unto Him," and He began that sermon with the Beatitudes. That's His first. This is His last. I want you to see the parallel. There's a very strong connection between the two sermons. I'm going to go down through it as briefly as possible. To be honest, as I looked at these woes, you could nearly do a sermon on each woe. I did a sermon in each row, you wouldn't be getting your Sunday dinner or your Monday lunch or anything else. But you look at the Sermon on the Mount, and I encourage you, even if you can have it, where one beside you is in Matthew 5 and the other one's in Matthew 23. And study them at home. You put the Beatitudes beside these woes, and you see the connection. Because in Matthew 5, you have all of the blessings. In Matthew 23, you have the cursings. And how often through Scripture is that the same? That on one hand, the Lord sets forth all of the blessings that are to be found in Christ. And on the other hand, He points out in His mercy and in His grace, all of the cursings, all of the punishments, all of the hardships that will come whenever one is not found in Christ. It's not the case of Moses. There in the end chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, he gathers the people around him there at the River Jordan. His life is coming to an end. The Israelites will be moving across the River Jordan into the land of Canaan. And he sets before them, today I have set before you the blessings and the cursings, the death and the life. The two contrasts that there are for those that are in Christ and those that are outside of Christ. You find the same in Psalm 1. It's only 6 verses in Psalm 1. 3 of them are blessings, 3 of them are cursings. It's a stark contrast between being in Christ and being outside of Christ. My question this morning is, which are you? Are you in Christ today? Are you saved? Are you enjoying the blessings of Christ? The blessings that are only found in Jesus Christ? Are you outside of Christ with the curse of death, the penalty of death hanging above your head? For all of your sins, for all of the wickedness that is found within your body, are you still under the curse of death today? These woes are the condemnation of God against these men, against their form of religion. Verse 13, we have the woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Christ had come to open the kingdom. Lord Jesus Christ had come and declared, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Christ was the one who stated himself, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Came to open that new and that living way. He had said in the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit enter, the proud in spirit stay out. These Pharisees, these scribes, they wouldn't humble themselves and accept their need of salvation. They saw themselves as a fountain of knowledge. They saw themselves as learned men that were above everyone else. They lorded over the people. We are the ones with all of the understanding. We are the ones with all of the intellect, with all of the understanding of the law and of the Old Testament. We don't need the gospel. We're above the gospel. They saw the gospel preaching, whether it be by John the Baptist, whether it be by the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw it as folly and as foolishness. They set themselves against it. They wouldn't go in themselves. John 7:48, the question was asked by a Pharisee, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? Was there even one? We know of Nicodemus. These Pharisees are looking within themselves and they're looking at the many Pharisees and they're all sitting around questioning, attacking the Lord, coming together against Him, compassing around about Him, and they're all asking the question, we're all here, none of us have believed on it. That in itself is sinful. These men went further. they stopped anyone else from believing. They put all of their efforts not only to stop themselves from believing, but they also put themselves against the Lord, that they would keep the people, that they would seek to withhold the people, to restrain them from taking the Lord's offer of salvation. They set themselves against it, that every way and every possible way that they could come about to attack the Lord and His message, that they would do it to keep men and women, boys and girls, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what wickedness to stop another person from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second woe in the verse 14 says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye devour widows' houses. For a pretense you make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." They went along to the widow's home. They robbed her. They manipulated her. They stole from her. They treated her disgracefully. Widows in their time of great need, in their times of sorrow, they were easy prey. The Lord's Beatitude had said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Even the Old Testament law, Exodus 22:22, it says, "Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child." You think even of the New Testament church in the book of Acts, and how that care was given for the widows. And how that care was given, that those that were left without a husband, those that now had no income, those that now had no protection, they were to be watched over, they were to be cared for by the church, they were to be cared for by the Christian. But yet here was the wickedness once again of the Pharisees. They stood up in the temple, they stood up in the public place, and they prayed for hours and for hours. And whilst they were praying, they had sent their servants to rob the widows. Take all of their possessions. Treat them shamefully. What hypocrites. Well, they made it look as if they were good, godly men praying for hours and hours. But down the road, a widow was being robbed under their order. She was being taken. Her children were being taken. Every possession that they had was being taken from them. Christ saw it all. He knew it all. His statement is woe. Then we come to the third one there in the verse 15. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte." Christ condemned their sealing, their efforts. They were willing to travel by land. They were willing to travel by sea. They were willing to go to every length and breadth of the land and right across the nations. They were willing to go as far as they could just to get one person to become a Pharisee. Just to get one to convert to their religion, to their understanding, to their practices. And they were able and they were willing to do it all, but yet they weren't willing to bring one neighbor to Christ. They weren't willing to go to the house next door to where they lived and to bring a person in their time of need to the Lord Jesus Christ. They spewed forth their lies to their converts. They got these proselytes, they taught them, all you need is the legalism, all you need is the law, all you need is your self-righteousness, you're guaranteed heaven. But yet Christ said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." See, my friend, it's only those that humble themselves before the Lord. It's only those who acknowledge and repent of their sins and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only those that are saved. and assured of heaven. Then we come to the next row, the verses 16 down to the end of 22. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. The Lord, in this particular woe and in these verses, he deals with their doctrines in relation to their oaths. See, here were these Pharisees, and they put greater emphasis on the gold and on the temple. They said, if you swear by the temple, that's one thing, but if you swear by the gold of the temple, they put more emphasis on the gift in the altar than on the altar itself. They taught one was more significant to swear by than the other. They taught that there were oaths that were binding and there were oaths that were not binding. Christ exposes them. He says to them, every oath is binding. Even if you swear in the man-made things, like gold. You swear in your gold, your little coins. Are you swearing this temple which has been made by hands? You swear in this altar, you swear on the animal, whatever you desire to swear on. Even if you swear on heaven, which by the way was sin. Matthew 5:34 states that. The Lord says you're going to be judged in every oath you make. Whether you make them heaven, you make them in gold, you make them in a temple, an altar, a sacrifice, a gift, whatever you make them on, your oath, you'll be judged on. In the verses 23-24, the woe against the practices. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, ye pay tithe of mint, anise, cumin, and have admitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy and faith. The Pharisees and the scribes, they majored in the minor issues. They had rules for every minute area of life. They saw it more important to tithe their herds than to have faith in God. Do you remember the Pharisee and the publican? Remember when the Pharisee was standing giving his public prayer, I thank thee, God, I'm not like others. I pray, I fast, I tithe. Lord, look, I'm bringing you my herbs. I'm bringing the mint, the cumin, the anise. I'm bringing them all out. I'm giving you the tithe of them. The Lord says, but you're missing something. Oh yes, tithing's important. Tithing has a place, even today in the Christian church. Tithing is still an obligation. That's a completely different sermon. I'm not going down that road this morning. But tithing has a place in the Christian church. We're to give of our tithes to the Lord. But tithing does not supersede and go above faith in Christ. You will never get into heaven because you gave 10% of your income every single week for all of your life. You'll never get into heaven simply by bringing of your produce, bringing of all of your wealth and your income to the Lord and to the Lord's work and to the Lord's house. That is not the way of salvation. Christ is not simply looking for the outward practices. He's looking for the inward piety. He's looking for the holiness that is only found in Christ. He's looking for faith. He's looking for mercy. He's looking for obedience to His word, to His law. Christ had said in Matthew 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who obey the word of God. Blessed are those who have the faith in the Lord.
And the God of the Scriptures, blessed are those ones, for they are the people who will obtain mercy. They are those who will be saved. Then we come to verses 25 to 28. These two woes can really be put together. They're both highlighting and illustrating the same issue. Verse 25, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Two woes, both teaching the same thing. The Pharisees and their teachings were all about the exterior religion, not the interior transformation. Everywhere the Pharisees went, on the outward, they were perfect. And every time they come into the public place, and you think of all of the poverty, the poorness that was about the streets, and all of the poor families, and all of, even in and around the temple, those that could only come with the turtle doves for the offering. And here came a Pharisee in the long robes, and all of the gold, and all of the wonderful finery, the jewelry upon them. How much better did they not look compared to the normal Joe Bloggs as it was walking up to the temple? How much did they not stand out just looking so majestic, as it were, walking up in their robes and all of their finery, with their long robes going behind them that everyone had to watch where they walked? How much greater did they look and far superior over every single one? But yet the Lord says, within you, you're filthy. Oh, you can have all of the robes. You can look perfect on the outside. But your heart's stinking. It's the same with the sepulchres. They painted them that beautiful white. As D.L. Moody put it, they were whitewashed. But they were not washed white. My friend, there's a difference. It's not enough to be whitewashed. You need to be washed white. You need to come neath the cleansing flow of the fountain of blood that's come from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that perfect blood that removes every spot and every stain of sin. That blood that washes whiter than snow. My friend today, what is the state of your heart? Oh, you can look on the outward perfect. You can act the perfect way. You can give all of the pretense, I am godly, I'm good. I'm faithful to the house of the Lord. Yet inward. It's possible today I'm speaking to one who is filthy with sin. Christ says, "Woe unto you, you're a hypocrite." Matthew 5, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Those that have been washed white. Sins forgiven. Sins cleansed. Blessed are they. They'll see God. Then we come to the final woe, the verses 29 through to 32. Final woes against their interest and their care for the dead. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites,
because you build the tombs of the prophets, garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. These prophets that we read about in the Old Testament, these prophets that were used in bygone years, generations before, they were used of the Lord to proclaim the word of the Lord, to bring the prophecy of what would come, to bring, whether it be the damnation, the judgment upon the people, to bring those warnings to the people that their sins, they were going to be taken over by other nations. Those prophets that would come and would write of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. These Pharisees took it upon themselves. It's now our role. We'll keep their sepulchres. We'll have the upkeep of them. We'll guard them. We'll fix them whenever they get broken down. Whatever issues there are, we'll watch over them. We'll make sure they look good. We'll take care of them. They were more interested in dead prophets than the living Christ. You know, as I was thinking about this, look again with me at verse 30. Look at their claim. Pharisees said, "If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." In other words, what they're saying is, if we lived when those prophets lived, we would not have been involved in their murders. We would not have been involved in their persecution. We would not have done anything. We would have supported them. We would have defended them. We would have taken care of them. Where was the Pharisees when John the Baptist was arrested? Where was the Pharisees when John the Baptist was in prison? Where was the Pharisees when John the Baptist's head was put in a platter? Where was the Pharisees when John the Baptist's disciples came and lifted his body and buried it? John the Baptist was a prophet. He was a forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet here's the folly of the Pharisees. Here's the lies of the Pharisees. All we would do, we would take care of them. We would have stood up for them. But no, they didn't. They never stood up for John the Baptist. They hated him. They hated his message. They hated his teaching, his doctrine. They hated what he was doing, the impact that he was having upon the people. They hated that his testimony, his preaching, they hated what he said of the Lord's coming. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." They hated him. They hated his message, even though he's a prophet of the Lord. They were hypocrites. It's all talk, no faith, no obedience to Christ, no obedience to his word. Now let me ask the question. We look down through that list of woes. All of the faults that were highlighted. I wonder today, sinner, how many apply to you? Outwardly clean. Publicly self-righteous. But yet inwardly filthy. One who's far from God. One who's a Christ rejecter. One who rejects the free offer of the gospel, the way of salvation. And I'm speaking to one who thinks that they're above the need of repentance and faith in Christ. And the Lord says to you today, woe. I want you to see, just thirdly and finally, not only the works of the Pharisees, the woes to the Pharisees, but then the verse 33, I want you to see the warning. The warning. Verse 33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" The Lord's bringing His message to an end. He brings this question right at the end of all of the woes, all of the attack. He brings that question: how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Now that question's been penned in that way. It was said in that way because it was highlighting the fact, Pharisees, you can't escape because you've rejected salvation. You can't escape hell because you've rejected the offer, the free offer of the gospel. You can't escape hell because you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it was interesting. I was doing my readings this morning. I was in Job 27. Verse 8, it says, what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, and God taketh away his soul. The Pharisees and the scribes were nothing more and nothing less than hypocrites. They had no hope. It didn't matter how much power and authority they had in this life. Didn't matter how many widows they robbed and how much wealth they gathered onto themselves. It didn't matter the status that they had in the community. It didn't matter how many people knew them or how many people looked to them. What did it matter? They were destined for hell. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? He loses his own soul. You know, the reality today is this, my friend, if you're still in your sins, you reject Christ. You reject the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. You reject His atonement for sin. Cannot be saved. Acts 4 and 12, it simply says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to get to heaven, the chorus says, and Jesus is the only way. There's only one way for our sins to be dealt with in their totality, and it's the cross. There's no other way. It doesn't matter the acts that you're involved in. It doesn't matter the words that you say. It doesn't matter the group that you affiliate yourself with. It doesn't matter the religion that you put yourself under. It doesn't matter the faith that you desire to have in whatever it is. You reject Christ. You reject the Word of God. You reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, that offer of salvation. You're damned to hell. What did he call the scribes and the Pharisees? He called them serpents. Serpents, of course, remind us of the devil. What's he calling them? He says, even though you think you're godly, you're the children of Satan. You're the children of the devil. He's your master. My friend, today, live in your lives of hypocrisy. Don't live today in what you think is right. Father, come and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heed His word. You might not be condemned to hell, but rather that your sins might be dealt with. might be saved forever.